to the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Now, synergy is a fun word to say, but what does it mean? It means that when we come together, we're powerful forces. Yes, we have a physical body, but we have a mind and a heart. We have a spirit that's raw energy. When we have a mind and a heart that we focus our energy toward a very specific goal, wow, we're powerful. And when we come together with other people, we're exponentially more capable of doing things that we would never be able to do on our own, alone. Look, I'm an introvert. I like being alone. I can be in a room full of people and not speak to anybody. Yes, but I know that when there are people in my life that are important to me, they're very important to me. They can influence me. They can affect me in a good or a bad way. Do you ever think about your personal power? What you have the capacity to influence people to do and be and have? Okay, well, you know what? Power, that's a fun thing to have, but it comes with responsibility. And responsibility demands accountability. So ask yourself this, who do you believe you're accountable to in your life? Every year I go to a shelter, a homeless shelter in Phoenix called CASS. It stands for Central Arizona Shelter Services, CASS. And you know what? The first time I came here 4 years ago, I was absolutely horrified. I could not believe the torture and abuse and neglect that the residents are subjected to. But I thought about it as I was observing this, and I told my husband and children, I have to find out what's really going on here. I'm going to take the time to investigate, and before making any judgment call, I'm going to really see what's going on behind the scenes, not just what's happening right in front of me. That included things like blood and vomit and feces in the showers that had no hot water, or, you know what, the threats and intimidation by the security guards, or the manipulation of the staff by the, oh, that's right, the higher ups that quite frankly didn't care about the residents. What? Okay, so I went to the program and I said, you know what? I need some help. I'm homeless now, because officially Washington is about 1,400 miles away from Phoenix. And I said, I need you to help me get a home here, because quite frankly, I was considering moving. And this to me was the window of opportunity to say, hey, you know what? I can leave my husband and kids and possessions all up in Washington State and have these people facilitate me. Because as a homeless shelter, they offered services like housing and job, employment. There were things that they were offering to people to get them back on their feet, to facilitate their success. And I said, yeah, okay, this is going to be a good opportunity to learn about the services, but more importantly, to learn about the people who needed them, and then the people who were the source of that facilitation, the actual employees in these different companies. I was several different companies just on the same campus. So as I learned about how things were going on, and I saw the way the people who lived there were genuinely trying to make their situation better. It might have been, you know what, my husband died and I'm 65 years old and he didn't have any life insurance. My house was taken away because it wasn't paid off. Yeah, his life insurance would have paid off the house. I don't know how to get a job because he was the primary breadwinner. Or how about this? There was a man who actually got injured on the job, but you know what? He was in a situation with his significant other and all of the things that he thought he had as backup. Yeah, no, that person just took off with it.
Okay.
But how about getting sick? You know what? Some people get injured or they get a very serious thing like cancer. And their insurance, well, actually, they couldn't afford insurance, or something happened in the company, the policy, and they were okay. They were completely alone and depressed. They were actually suicidal. You know what? I spoke to friends and family members about what I saw, and their belief, their genuine understanding was that they're homeless. They're obviously worthless, and they really don't deserve anything of substance or value because they have an attitude problem, or they are not willing to do the work that they need to do. Actually, yeah, they were very sincerely trying, and they were in a condition of a mindset, an attitude of help me, I'm willing. Just a little bit for a few weeks, I'm going to see what's going on, what facility, what services, plans are able, right? Afford to accessible almost, because what things do I qualify for? Oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that. All right, so I said to my husband and kids, you know what? I'm sorry you're not gonna like this, but I'm gonna go through the whole thing. Get a job through these people, get housing through these people, have them with my medical condition. There's different programs, obviously government programs for medical assistance. And when I saw the way that the system itself with these resources was set up, they never communicated with each other. So by the time I qualified for housing because I got the job, I was making too much money. Okay. So I didn't get the housing that I was hoping for. So I would just get enough to still qualify for help, but then I didn't actually make enough to get the housing that I needed. When there were several different options. Oh my gosh. Okay. And I'm sitting here watching the people that live here. There was a lot of disrespect. There was a lot of combative attitude between the residents and the security. And the toxicity of the attitudes of the staff. Wow. See, I knew that that was going to be the big source of the cause of the effect of thousands, literally 1,500 residents living in what was a cross between really bad military. No, I'm thinking more like prison, right? Cots and bunk beds and. Because they would sleep on the ground with mats, and there was black mold on the ceilings, and there was no heat. That's right. In the winter, I don't know if you know this about Arizona, it can get down to about 35, 40 degrees overnight. Yeah, you need some heat there. So I said, now I'm going to go ahead and I'm just going to coach the people that live here. I'm going to find out how we can make changes. And again, I got resistance, not just from the residents, but from people in the community. They said the homeless like to be miserable. The homeless actually said no one is ever going to help us because they think we're worthless scum. And the people that work here, they don't have the ability to make any real significant changes. And again, they couldn't care less about us. I said, okay, so this is going to be what I teach people, the power of positive energy. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, let's think about this. Ask yourself, what do you believe about personal power? Do you believe that you have the ability to make a change? What I was told was the only way you're going to make a real change is if you get politically involved and you have to raise hell and you have to get the media involved and you have to. No, you don't. You actually just have to take proactive steps in a healthy way to make sure that the energy that you give the people around you is positive. Positive is more powerful than negative. I know this because, well, for almost 50 years that I've been on this earth, I've had many relationships, I've had many jobs, I've had many experiences. Yeah, I know for a fact that when I put my mind to something, positive energy is going to have one of several effects. It's either going to change the energy, the negative energy of the people around me, or and actually strengthen them and reunite me with them in a healthy way, or it's just going to upset them to the point where they can't stand to be around me and it'll make them go away. But either way, it's going to open up opportunities for me, because when you have that approach to life, life says, yeah, you know what? There's a lot of opportunities here. You have a lot of options. You just have to be looking for them in a proactive way. Negative energy is very reactive, but when you're proactive and you're positive, things in your life truly manifest. So I actually invited some of the residents to come and be part of the show today to be interviewed by me, because I had some questions I wanted to ask them. Apparently, the library is a little far from the shelter, so I'm going to give them the rest of the hour to actually get here. And if they don't come, I'm going to go ahead and just read over the grievances. There's 15 grievances that they've brought up that they want to have addressed, and I will talk about what I have done in the last 4 years to resolve some of these issues, where it was 4 years ago, where it is today, and where it can still go when we employ our positive energy by synergizing, by synchronizing, making sure we have personal power that makes good, positive changes in the world without having to be severe or extreme in our methods. This is the Power of Synergy on BBS. I'm Gabrielle Cardona. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Power of Synergy on BBS. I'm Gabrielle Cardona, and today I'm talking to my listeners about a very important, shall we say, theme, a very important issue to me personally. When I went to CAS, which was a shelter in Phoenix, Arizona, the first time, it scared me, yeah, because the torture and abuse and neglect that the residents were getting on a daily basis was just inhuman to me. I couldn't understand how people could work here, the security guards could be here and actually think that this was okay, and the public didn't know. How in the world could they not know? Because of the fear that the residents had, because they were threatened on a daily basis that they would be kicked out. You know what? Being tortured and abused was better than being on the streets alone in the dead of winter in Phoenix, in the desert. Yeah. You know, okay. I have to say I don't necessarily agree with that, because I've been a victim of abuse and I would do better sleeping outside by myself than being threatened and intimidated. But you know what? When people who have lived there for that long are used to that torture and abuse, their threshold gets very high, their resistance. You know what? It increases, but at the same time, something happens that's called apathy. They actually begin to disconnect from who they are as people. Now, when I said to the people in my life, the professional and the personal connections that I had, and I said, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and first of all, I'm going to give the people that live here some free coaching, because a lot of them are homicidal, some of them are suicidal, and they're all addicted to different things. I got some skepticism and criticism. People said, why are you going to do that? These people are not worth it. I said, yes, they are. Because they are just in circumstances that were out of their control. They were unfortunate circumstances, and it's not their fault that they became this way. Yeah, no, I didn't really get that understanding from the people. The people, I decided I was going to take pictures and recordings. And I said, you know what? Yeah, I need people to actually see these things and to know about these things. Anybody who genuinely is concerned about helping to solve the problem, I'm going to help them know accurately what the problem is. I found out that there is a procedure, right? A policy within the shelter. It was called grievances. You could file formal complaints. So when I found out that, ooh, I can just get this piece of paper and I can be very descriptive and very specific, not only about what happened, but yeah, my personal experience in it. Well, great. Then people will actually want to solve the problem. So I just started every single thing that I did not like and that I did not appreciate or trust about this place. I said, I'm going to go ahead and fill out the form and give it to the higher ups. Yeah, 54 of them I had by the end of the first week. And I just said, oh my God, this is crazy. But what threw me off more was that I would say to the other residents, look at this. What? Why are you not complaining about this? They said, because they don't care. Okay. So then I had to, first of all, address that with the residents and just say, there are some people here who do care. You know what? Let's say worst case scenario, there's 10 employees, 9 of them don't care. What about the one that does? Let's tap into the good one that does. Well, I had to talk to probably 50 residents and say, do you know that there are opportunities here to make things better? They didn't believe me, but I did. I found out who the higher ups were because I behaved myself in a mature and a respectful way. When I went to the staff, I wasn't screaming at them and swearing at them and crying while I was talking to them the way the residents were because they were exhausted. Yeah, I had a campaign that I was going for, and I had a plan that I was on the route of execution. Everything was going, you know what? And I just wanted to tell the people, yeah, let's do this. So when we come back, I'm going to go ahead and go down through all 15 issues that the current residents want to have resolved and how, with positive synergy and proactive energy, we're going to get this taken care of. This is the Power of Synergy on BBS. I'm Gabrielle Cardona. Welcome back to the Power of Synergy on BBS. I'm Gabrielle Cardona, a life and relationship coach who 4 years ago went to a homeless shelter in downtown Phoenix called CAS. I lived as a resident, as a homeless resident in that system, in that environment. Took advantage of all of their programs, I took advantage of their resources, I participated in their different activities. I wanted to make sure that I made a good faith effort to find out where the weaknesses and where the failures actually were, because instead of just getting upset over the fact that I didn't get what I wanted after 4 weeks of going through programs and activities and case managers, and yeah, I didn't have the job and I couldn't get the housing and I couldn't get the support and the medical and community resources. They were there, but they weren't hooked up the way they needed to be. Okay, so I said, I'm going to formally complain. I'm going to go on the record about not only what things I think are wrong with how this is run, but what I think would be the right way to do it. And so I wanted to make sure that the people who were watching me when I told them, I personally care about you, their response was, what are you going? What are you doing this for? What's your agenda? And I said, I just want to help you out. And they said, yeah, whatever. You're full of it. There's no way you could actually care about us. You must have some kind of ulterior motive on the down low. And okay, that's fine. You can go ahead and doubt me. I'm going to go ahead and file these grievances and talk to the higher ups because my maturity and my responsibility and my intelligence actually got them their attention. The attention of the people who are not the ones behind the desk when you walk into the office. They're not the ones behind the counter when you enter the dormitory. They're not the people that are going to frisk you in the security. No, they're the people who are in administration. They're executives. They're the presidents. Yeah, this is a charity. So wait a minute now. We have to do it differently. What are the actual problems? How many of these problems do the higher ups even know about? Okay, so I'm speaking now on behalf of some people that I thought were going to come today, but maybe they're going to show up a little late. 15 grievances issues that are raised up. Number one, policies. Written formal policies are not accessible to the residents. A lot of staff members will come in and say, you're breaking the rules, but we were never officially given any rules. Okay, number two, the staff contradicts each other about the policies. You ask three different employees the same question, they're going to give you three different answers. Number three, staff and security contradict each other. They work literally in the same building, 15 feet away from each other, and they will give you two totally different answers to the same questions. Okay, number four, grievances, the formal complaints have no follow-through. You submit it and you never hear back about it. Number five, residents have no recourse on grievances. Sometimes the staff says, well, I never got it. I don't know what you're talking about. Sometimes they say, yeah, I got it, and they'll walk away. Well, what if they don't actually resolve the issue? Okay, number six, staff can fail to perform duties at the resident's expense. I'll give you an example. Apparently, you're supposed to check in daily if you have a bed assignment at CAS. If you don't check in daily, you can be kicked out. Okay, I didn't know that until a resident told me. But you know what? If the staff, if you go and check in, if they don't write it down, well, you can get kicked out. But they're the ones that failed. Okay. Number seven, the higher ups in this place, they're not accessible to residents when they need to be reached. I needed to talk to presidents and directors and executives and management. Yeah, no, you can't have any of that information. Okay, number eight, this is the one that kind of bothers me. Staff doesn't have name tags with job titles. So when you actually do want to file a grievance and you say, okay, what's your name? They don't have to tell you their name. How can they not have to tell you their name? Okay. Like I said, that one was personally passionate for me. Okay. Number nine, surveillance only records from 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. They have cameras, they're just not recording. Okay. number 10, there's only one staff member overnight. There's over 100 people in these different dormitories. There's only one staff member overnight, separate from the security. Okay. Number 11, the air in the day room is very cold. Well, the fact that CAS staff doesn't really have any access to the air conditioning, they can't turn the heater up, that's what bothers me. Okay. And number 12, there's black mold on the ceilings. Enough said. Number 13, there's no consistent curfew in the day room. Now, the day room is separate from the dormitory, but it's past the entrance in a different part of the building. You know what? You really should have to know what time you have to go to bed, but you don't because different staff members do different things in different ways for different reasons. Okay, so again, that's no consistency. Okay, and then this number 14, the staff is provocational when residents are volatile. Okay, so when that means that when the people who live here are not well mentally and emotionally, they can become very, very unstable. Well, you know what? Instead of diffusing the situation and creating peace, they actually provoke it and make it exponentially worse. And last, the number 15, navigators are not involved enough with residents personally. Apparently, when you get to these places like Cass, you are assigned a navigator, which is a personal sort of career counselor slash housing facilitator. They look at your situation and say, okay, what is it that you need? And what do we have that matches your needs most effectively? How can we get you out of this place the mo in the most smooth, right, and effective and successful way? Yeah, okay. So out of these 15 problems, struggles, issues, I tell people, you have got to make sure that you let the higher ups know. The only way they're going to know is if you write it down and you submit it formally. But you know what? They say we're not going to waste our time because they're never going to see it. The higher ups are never going to see it. Well, I came up with a solution and I explained my sort of game plan to the people who are living in this place. 4 years ago, I put it into effect. And some things have changed over the years. When we come back, I'm going to explain the plan, the program that I'm giving the residents to make changes in a significant and permanent way in places like this. We're going to take a quick break. I'm Gabrielle Cardona. This is the Power of Synergy on BBS. Welcome back to the Power of Synergy. This is BBS Radio, and I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Now, when I first came to CAS in downtown Phoenix as a homeless shelter, I actually came as a homeless person. Even though I wasn't at the time, I wanted to see what was really going on behind the scenes. I understood that if we were going to solve any of these problems that were clearly, problems. Anyone with an intelligence quotient above 70 could see this was not a good situation. There had to be a game plan. There had to be a very, very specific strategy and something that the people involved in this could sign up for, that they could be personally vested in because they truly believed in it. Okay, so I just read off 15 different complaints that people had. Now, what I was first bothered by, in addition to all of these things that were going on at the time, was the fact that the security guards really liked to threaten and intimidate people, and staff loved to watch it. They actually enjoyed witnessing the emotional and psychological abuse because they knew that the residents had absolutely, again, no recourse for holding these people accountable, saying, you can't do this to me. They had absolutely no way to stand up for themselves. So what I said was, we have got to get the higher ups aware of what's going on. We have got to get the grievances filed. But I knew that if you gave the grievance, the formal complaint on a piece of paper to the staff behind the counter, they either were going to, whoops, quote unquote, lose it, so it was never submitted, or they would you just say, you know, it's really not that important. I said, yeah, you know what? We've got to get united. We've got to get enough people submitting this, but we've got to submit it to the people who are higher up than the people behind the counter. So I explained to the residents while I was coaching them for free because I told my husband and kids, yeah, I can charge $150 an hour to the actuary of Kaiser Permanente. Yeah, but these people are homeless. They literally have no income. So I'm gonna coach them and I'm gonna help them build their confidence and their capacity. Yes, socially to behave with these situations with these people. And we are going to make sure that the higher ups in the company see this. I am going to make copies of my grievances because the staff does have to sign it. Okay, so I'm going to get a signed copy of the grievance that they supposedly received from me that's also dated. So I got a hold of one of the higher ups, not only in the human services campus, but in CAS. Now, it was hard for me to find out which company did which things and how they were relative to each other in authority, but I did. I studied it and I asked enough people in a nice enough way to find out. So I knew that when I submitted these grievances, that the higher ups were seeing them. Okay, so when I would go back and say, "So, how did you deal with this situation? What did you think about the situation?" They couldn't really answer because they were not doing anything. They tried to threaten me. They tried to kick me out. I said, "Okay, now I got to really pull out all the stops. I'm just going to go ahead and put this on my radio show. By the way, this is BBS Radio." And so I stopped being homeless. And I told the people living there, "Yes, I will absolutely be your advocate." I went home. I came back. I went home. I came back. The residents didn't think I would ever actually do anything. They thought the minute that I went home, I was abandoning them like everybody else. No, ladies and gentlemen, I personally cared about them. What kind of money was I making on this? Nothing. I was spending my own money. What kind of ulterior motive do I have? I'm going to take advantage of them for something. I'm politically involved. Actually, I'm a Christian. I'm politically neutral. I'm not involved in any kind of political groups. Well, you're getting rich off of this with your radio show. No, actually, I pay for my airtime and I don't have any sponsors. I don't make any money from the commercials. Well, you're just pissing me off. Well, that's okay because I'm still going to go ahead and continue to help these people, anybody who wants help. Now, again, I got the response from the general public of, "Don't waste your time. These people like to be miserable. They want to be sick and tortured." No, they don't. So, over the last 3 years, 4 years, actually now, because I would go back and forth, I would turn in the grievances to the director of CAS. And out of the 54 that I had originally filed, 26 of them have been resolved. They not only now have showers that are separated, right, but they also have hot water. Okay, and they're cleaned daily. And in the day room, there is now karaoke once a week. They got totally different staff. The ones before were Delta and Trident. You know what? Yeah, no, not anymore. And I don't know if I can say the names of the companies yet. I'm going to have to get authorization to do that. But when I said to the residents when I came back that how were they treated by these people? You know what? The security guards were even more supportive than the staff. They protect them, they defend them, they listen to them when they're having a hard day. They actually care about what they're going through. And they'll take the time just to let them vent. Yeah, you know what? The things that are being improved, yeah, we still got 28 to go, but the attitudes and the energy of the people that live there are just night and day different. The things that still need to happen, again, we got to get the people who genuinely do want to get their life better involved. We got to get them actively involved. But I'm reaching out to the general public, and I have a very special favor to ask. When we come back, I'm going to send out into the universe, into iHeartRadio, to my listener base, a very special personal request on behalf of these residents. This is the Power of Synergy on BBS. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Welcome back to the Power of Synergy on BBS. I'm Gabrielle Cardona, a relationship and life coach. I've spent the last 4 years periodically going back to a place called CAS in Phoenix. It's a homeless shelter for people who are in an obviously less than ideal situation. Some of them genuinely want to make their life better, some of them don't. I'm not focusing on the people who do not want to make their lives better, but I would say, no, actually, I would ask my listeners, my followers, my connections, do you think if there are 1,500 people on the roster, maybe 200 of them actually spend the night there every night, if there are 50 people who want to make their lives better, that means 1,450 do not want to make their lives better. Are the 50 people who are sincerely, truly trying worth spending your time and energy and effort? Yeah, I think so, because the changes that have been made over the last 4 years in this place, I have to say the one that means the most to me personally is the security. There's two of them actually, the security companies that are now working there protect the residents. The staff has to behave when they are interacting with the residents in front of security, and they have to follow certain, or live up to, we'll say, certain standards, certain policies and procedures that are just about being a decent person. So I went to what Human Services Campus, or Keys to Change, they changed their name now, yes, Keys to Change, has a community meeting once a week. I was invited to go there to see what basically has been improved when it comes to the services that are extended to the residents. Yeah, it's the opportunity for the residents of CAS to not only express their needs and their concerns and their frustrations, but there were four different companies represented, including campus management. That's even separate from CAS. And they even said to the residents, you can give us the grievances. Okay, so when we are now talking about different companies and different individuals within those companies saying, you know what, we know that the staff of CAS is still treating you like garbage. We care enough about you to do things for you, with you, around you. Yeah, you just got to tell us what those things are. I stood up for them and I said, you know what? I love that you guys are doing this because, believe it or not, the quality of their mindset has changed from the first time that I came here 4 years ago, where they were defensive and paranoid and judgmental and violent and aggressive. You know what? Now, when you walk into the dorm, when staff isn't around, the residents are polite and they're respectful and they're affectionate and they're very generous with each other. Okay, I'm gonna get myself together really quick, okay? But the nice thing is when some of the residents have the physical illnesses that they do, where before they would be walked away from, now people step up and say, can I help you with that? Can I open the door for you? I'll carry that for you. And they're sweet and they say, please and thank you. And I say, look, you guys, we've got this ball rolling. I want to keep it going. One of the directors of Keys to Change came to me. He's actually the manager of the back LDRC, the resource center. And he said, you know what? I really like what you're doing with them here. I really support what you're doing and I appreciate it. We're going to have a special new group that is going to be a facilitating group. He said, because you have not only the insight and the energy, but you really do have their trust and their respect and their appreciation. We can maximize this. You know what? Forget CAS right now because they are a huge toxic problem. Let's do something with Keys to Change. Everything that I've done so far with this group, I've put my own money into it. No one has given me any donations. No one has given me any support, sponsorship, because I was personally vested. I wanted people to see that of my 54 formal complaints, I have got almost half the list eliminated. That's the proof that this works. And the residents, They trust me again and they look forward to me coming back to visit. I'm going to be taking off in a few weeks again because I have work to do, but I want to get involved in this with the keys to change. I have programs, I have classes that I would like to provide as a coach consistently in a structured way to the campus because I really do love the people that live here that are trying. Forget the ones that aren't trying. Let's focus on and maximize the good positive energy that we have with each other when we synergize the principles that I teach. I'll give you examples of them, the overview of the content, and if you can support the content of what I am teaching people, not only academically, but really personally through interaction with them, then you can go ahead and think about whether you want to support it. We're going to take another break, and when we come back, I'll break down the content of what I think would help the homeless to not be in this situation anymore. This is The Power of Synergy. I'm Gabrielle Cardona on BBS Radio. Welcome back to The Power of Synergy on BBS. I'm Gabrielle Cardona, a life and relationship coach. I've been in business for about 22 years, and yes, I have made $250 an hour giving my services and instruction to people who wanted to make their life better and they weren't interested in seeing a mental health professional. I literally have had everyone from a district attorney saying, okay, so I have had a perfect life. I'm good looking. My parents were Mormon. They never abused me. I'm rich. I'm powerful. Tell me why I'm not happy as a client. And I've had the actuary of a major insurance company saying, okay, I'm 65. I think I've been doing the wrong thing for 44 years. I'm ready to be happy. Teach me how to be happy. Okay. But you know what? The fact that I've seen personally that the homeless in Phoenix, they are trying. They're just involved in a system that is really not very well administrative. It's not executive well. It's not managed well. And there's a lot of resources that just aren't being utilized in a healthy and productive way. So the fact that I've been giving the residents here free coaching for these years, these last 4 years, while I've tried to make the improvements in the conditions, because I showed them very clearly by my example that you can make positive changes if you have a positive and proactive mindset with a very specific game plan. Okay, so what I teach people as a life coach is the game plan of define where you want to go. Really clarify where you are right now. Then learn about yourself. What's your personality profile? Because you know what? As a life coach, five different people could come to me with the exact same question. I would give them five completely different answers based on their personalities. Okay, so when I teach people about their personality profile, what I teach them is their functional order. So, what I would like to do is get an actual course specifically for the homeless, which would be very different than what I would provide to someone who just went to my website and said, yeah, I'm going to give you $150 an hour to help me with one or two problems in my life. Because as a life coach, you're not trying to fix me. You're not trying to label me. You're not pumping me full of drugs. And you're not making me feel bad about myself. You give me the equipment and the strategy and the game plan and the support. You're standing along the sidelines while I score in the game of life. Yeah, I want to have the resources available for the people who are just trying to get back out onto the field in the first place. That's a very different need than the people who are actively involved in a proactive and otherwise successful life. They just need a little bit of direction and encouragement. I was actually invited to participate in a new support group with Keys to Change because one of the employees, one of the managers of the back LDRC, where they have an entirely separate office, said, "I like your attitude and I like your approach, and people here respect and appreciate and trust you. Would you be willing to be part of this?" Yeah, I don't live in Phoenix. I still don't. I'm in Washington, but I think I'm going to end up moving to Nevada pretty soon. But I do want to do this with these people, for these people. So there are different details. I don't have time to go into them on the show today, but my website is life-synergy-coaching.com. And this week, I'm going to put up the information about the program for the homeless. If you're interested in sponsoring it, that would be greatly appreciated because the meeting is on Monday. That's in 2 days. I want to have something substantive of a very high quality that I can take to Keys to Change and say, yes, we are on the way. We have already made progress. We're making more progress. And this is what we have to offer the people that live here that are still focused on making that quality progress. So, we're going to take one last break, and when I come back, I'm going to summarize and kind of explain a little bit more the overview of what that's going to include. This is the Power of Synergy on BBS. I'm Gabrielle Cardona. Welcome back to the Power of Synergy. I'm Gabrielle Cardona. So I'm going to let all my listeners know now that what I'm going to be teaching and what I want to be doing at CAS in Phoenix is not only teaching people how to become better in their own life independently so that they can get out of a homeless shelter, but really understanding what appreciation and respect and trust are about, because that's the foundation of what I do. That's the basis for what I teach. What I provide is the connection to people, because again, people are the source of what our life is about. I don't care what job you have, I don't care what house you have. It's not about having and doing more, having better, having doing better. It's about being high quality. That's your thoughts and your feelings. And the only reason why I've been able to make the changes in CAS that the residents now respect and they appreciate and they trust is because I did it with good, healthy, positive energy. So everything that I teach the residents at CAS is not only about my life coaching plan, it's about the quality of their thoughts and their feelings. And so when we get together, if there are a lot of different services that are offered on this campus, if they can synchronize, then they can synergize. And the residents, when they experience it firsthand and they know that it's high quality, they don't need an excessive quantity of anything. As humans, we're actually pretty simple creatures. If we have enough of a very good quality thing, we don't have to accumulate and hoard, and we don't have to compete with each other because we know that when we work together, we complement each other. Yes, there was a really tacky line in a movie. You complete me. No, you don't need anyone to complete you. But complementing people means that whatever their strengths are, that can help you when you struggle. They're not going to do the work for you. They're going to facilitate you, but it has to be with positive energy. And the opposite is true. What do you think is more powerful, the person doing the work or the other one facilitating them with their good motives and their intentions and their abilities that are very high quality and they're unselfish? So, again, my website is life-synergy-coaching.com. And if you have questions, I got a new email address for this. It's lifesynergycoaching@yahoo. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I didn't write it down. It's lifesynergycoachingnow@yahoo.com. So, if you want to go ahead and check out the website, I'll have all of the details, the information here in the next few days, especially since the archive is going to be put up. I would also appreciate it if you would share the link to this show with people that you think might be interested in helping out the homeless who are very serious about making their lives better. And me, as a life coach, I'm very serious about facilitating that happening and keys to change that genuinely is trying to transcend the failures of caste. We can make this happen if we're focused, if we're synergized, if we're synchronized. Our personal power, we can use it in a good way or a bad way. And there's the last thing that I tell people, the truth, the bottom line, there is no neutral energy. You're either positive or you're negative. There is no inertia. You're either moving towards someone or you're moving away from them, or you're synchronized. You're moving with them. And finally, you know what? Knowledge is power. Power comes with responsibility, and responsibility demands accountability. Always hold yourself accountable for the high quality person that you are always capable of being. When you make a choice, make your power positive. Thank you so much for listening to The Power of Synergy on BBS. We'll see you again next week. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona.